Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Wayne Miller, Eric Lemming, Colin McGlinchey. God damn it. I can't say names. Colin McGlinchey. I think that's how you say it. And Ian Lacasse. Thank you all so much for sponsoring this episode. They donated over at patreon.com/IHateHorror. So if you can support monetarily, head on over there and support monetarily. But if not, we don't mind. This week, I'm pretty excited for this. This week is Alien Abduction Incident in Lake County. Enjoy. Everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
I was gonna throw Abducted in there.
Where?
I don't know, like in my
the show that abducts?
Abducts. Well, that would be like weird. Oh man, abducts, mutilates. Yeah, that'd be bad.
the police show up.
Oh man, we are really excited. I'm sure Adam Lash is also really excited for finally getting his fucking pick. And a great pick.
Yeah. Want to not talk about it?
Yeah, guys.
Just out of spite.
I almost wanted to do an old switcheroo on him and tell people we were watching something else, and then just to fuck with him. But thanks, Adam. Thank you for all the donations, and thanks for picking not Black Devil Doll.
or that, what was the Visitor Q?
Visitor Q.
This one's so much more fun.
This is so fun. Why can't he just pick shit like this all the time? I think he has another pick for his hurricane relief pick. So I don't know what it's going to be, but I hope it's just the original one of this.
All six guinea pig movies?
Probably. Oh, man. So this is Alien Abduction Incident in Lake County, 1998.
Yes.
Predating Blair Witch.
Yes.
Found footage flick.
That was a big deal to me. The fact that it predates Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Because you know why? This is fucking awesome and not boring, and everyone sucks off Blair Witch. Why is nobody talking about this?
I don't know, because this is really good and really, truly made in 1989, the original.
The original, yeah.
By the same director.
Yes.
I found, and I want to give them some props here, found footage critic. And I think their podcast is called like the Found Footage Files, but foundfootagecritic.com. They interviewed this director. It's like a 90-minute interview with this guy. And his name is Dean. What is his name?
Yeah, Dean Aliotto.
Aliotto. Really awesome interview. Like, really good. I would honestly just say check it out. the original. So there's an original called the McPherson Tapes, yep. 1989, made on home video. He filmed it in one take in one night.
Nice.
It is awful to look at. I will tell you that much. Like, I was so glad Adam chose the newer one, because the newer one is just as effective and still believable, 100% yeah. believable, but just a lot better. Like, you literally can't see anything in the original. Like, it's so dark. It's so fucking dark. But it's also really realistic. Like, they, like, basically the family, the cast is a family, and they are literally a family. Like, they all have the same last name, like Van Hoosen.
The cast in this, I can't express how much I enjoyed this mm-hmm. because there was no point where I was like, there's no point that suspended my belief. Like, I knew that this wasn't real,
right.
but if I didn't, like, I wouldn't be shocked. You know what I mean? Like, the family, their dialogue was seamless. It was just like, it flowed like yeah, siblings would flow.
It is really good. Well, I'll tell you more about that too. But I saw this when I was a kid, when it aired.
I didn't think I did. As soon as the ending happened, yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because this aired on UPN. This wasn't released to theater.
Correct. It's a UPN made for TV movie. It's actually hard to find online because the guy in his interview reveals he's trying to make a Blu-ray release. And he actively goes after pirates on YouTube, which I'm like, come on, man. Like, it was fucking made on TV. You know what I mean? Like, let it go on YouTube. You do the Blu-ray release. People are going to buy it or steal it. So, like, whatever, man. But yeah. And so he makes this one on VHS, right? He tries shopping it. He tries selling it.
This is the 1989 one.
This is 1989 yeah. one. And he honestly thinks he's like, I had to get it done because, like, Spielberg made a movie when he was young and sold it. And, like, he was like, I wanted to be, like, on the same timeline. So, like, I rushed making this movie. And he's like, and no one wanted to buy it. You can't see anything. And he's like, so I just, like, he ended up getting, like, a distribution thing. And then the warehouse, and this is why people believe it's real still, by the way. There's a conspiracy that this is real. The 98 version is, like, a cover-up to be like, oh, yeah, like, we're remaking that fake movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because
I'm on board.
The building in the original that housed literally every copy burned down. Yeah.
This is exactly what the government wants you to
think. Yeah. So the director like was like, oh, fuck it. But I guess some copies had gotten out in the wild. Some kid rented it from a video store, copied it to a tape, cut off the credits, though, and started circulating it as this is real. And it got to, this is the best part. This makes me laugh so hard. Somehow it got in the hands of the International UFO Congress Convention in Las Vegas, who screened it to, like, their giant convention, like, hundreds of people. And they said the place went, like, insane, like, lost their mind. And your retired Air Force guy was like, we have all the proof we need now. Like, they lost their fucking mind. And Unsolved Mysteries, like, did the research and tracked it down and called the director and was like, hey, man, did you make a fucking movie about aliens? And he was like, he didn't know why. He's like, yeah. And he's like, all right, that's all I needed to know. But that ultimately led to them making this new one.
Yes.
And check out that interview. The guy's, like, really nice and talks about the entire process for both movies.
Can we backpedal for one second?
Yeah.
How do we get to this convention?
I don't know. We got
to
find.
I need to be there.
When I was in sixth grade. When I was in elementary school, like, all the grades, I would buy UFO magazine. It was like a $13 magazine.
Yeah. Same.
It was from the UK.
Every year, because you were a grade behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
But every year from, like, fourth grade to fifth grade, you had to do a research paper.
Oh, yeah.
Every year it was on fucking UFOs. I think I switched it up once and did it on Bigfoot.
Dude, I did the same thing, except it was Loch Ness one year. Okay. But it was always aliens. Always aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you would rent, like, shitty. They had them in the library.
Dude, they had
like
so VHSs many
that you can use as research.
Yeah.
But those VHSs were literally like what we just watched.
Yeah,
it was experts like
that. It might have been. It might have fucking been. But yeah, it's amazing. Like, this is just something. So then he got an offer to remake it for UPN. And still people believed it, even though as soon as it ends, a giant directed by comes up. People were still like, what the fuck? And lost their fucking minds. And you know what? This movie scared me.
This movie is unsettling.
Yeah, really, like, unsettling.
I can't express that enough. Like, this is so well done.
I don't think there's a movie we've done for the show that really, like I got goosebumps at one point in the movie. And I was like, ooh, like, this is weird. Like, I don't like this feeling at all. Like, I don't think I've been scared like that from a movie.
Again, it's just so well done because there are scenes where the characters are like, I just saw that. And, like, me myself was, like, getting close to the TV to see if I could see something in the window. And, like, I was rewinding part. I never do that.
Yeah. Well, that was really confusing. So was, like, when they would hear things that didn't get picked up on the camcorder.
Right. I love that.
I love it, too. It's a genius move because, like, I'm like, wait, am I supposed to hear something right now?
Like, yeah, that's what added to, like, the uneasiness
of
it. Like,
yeah, and this actually had, like, a $1.25 million budget.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess really what he spent it on was extending it and getting good special effects. He was like, I got the special effects guys from the X-Files. I was like, honestly, you should have gotten your money back. Because I don't know what, I mean, besides the ship in the beginning, which we'll get to, like, there's nothing that crazy in this. But like you were saying, the dialogue was really good. Mm-hmm. All these guys were what's the word? Improv actors.
Okay.
They're all improvisational actors. He was
that,
like,
makes sense, because it flowed.
There's no script. There was no script. There were key moments that, yep, he was like, you have to do this here, do this there. And that's it.
That's perfect.
I know. I was genius. Like, that's fucking genius. Exactly.
And I have the girl from Entourage.
Yeah. That's Sloan. He talks about that in the interview. He's very, very proud of that. So yeah, let's, I mean, I do have a bunch of, like, it's so crazy. I think this is just such a fascinating movie. I really think it's fucking,
I do too. And, like, we're both fans of Aliens, and I could talk about the shit. Like, I'm actually kind of upset we haven't done true Alien movies before.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
also, I think I texted this to you. My wife's always looking for, like, a good movie to watch on Thanksgiving. This is a great Thanksgiving movie.
You know what? Honestly, I was thinking about what you were saying about that. This is an awesome Thanksgiving movie. And I kind of really like the idea of a November playlist. I think I'd almost rather, because October's so busy for the show. Like, I was working, like, all night for the show, like, doing shit, like, because it's, like, it's work if you have a horror podcast in October. Like, that's why I don't have, I realized, thanks to Brad Miska's tweet, because he was like, finally Halloween's over. Now I can actually watch horror movies again. Because all he did was, like, he was just writing constantly about news.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's my problem in October. Like, I'm just trying to, like, do shit for the show. Like, I don't have time to, like, do it. I want to do something in November, I think. But we'd have to come up with, like, a really awesome list of November movies.
It's tough, dude. It's not a lot.
Maybe just fall. I don't know. But this is amazing. I love this as a fall movie. Like, I think.
Yeah. Well, it takes place at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a family movie. Like, the mom, like, the we find out that the dad died. The mom's, like, slipping back into alcoholism. It's just, like, a legitimate family coming together.
It is. And it's weird. Yeah, it's really weird. A family coming together, unless you're dating the sister. We'll get to that weird element of this movie. It was really well done, though. It was really well done. But definitely caused some controversy after it aired. People,
yes,
freaked
it was
the,
like,
fuck out.
The War of the Worlds.
Yeah, people freaked the fuck out.
I understand it.
I mean, it scared the shit out of me.
That reminds me. Do you remember, this was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when the Discovery Channel showed that documentary on mermaids?
Yes.
And everybody believed it. Yes. There was a teacher at my school that was telling the kids about, like, the history of mermaids.
No.
Yeah.
Like, we have to integrate this into the...
You know, he was, like, telling them. He's like, yeah. And I was, like, after, I was like, you know that was, like, fake, right? He's like, no, they wouldn't show. They can't show fake stuff on TV. He's like, it was a documentary.
Well, it's funny because, like, the History Channel, like, in October plays, like, the history of vampires. And it's like, fun fact, there's no history of vampires because they're fake.
Because they're not real. Yeah, exactly. The history of dragons.
Yeah, it's not real. You can't...
Didn't this air after, like, one of those vampire things?
Yes, it said Real Vampires Exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, was the... so they did a lot of stuff,
so
like,
everyone
this.
That was getting outraged, that probably should have been a a tipping.
And it was probably at the end of like the Weekly World News cycle where people were like, I think just there was so much media, like you could consume so much of it. And even Adam Lash, who picked this, he said he went on the message boards after and people were like, everybody run. People were freaking the fuck out.
I wish I could go back to those times.
I know.
Because I would just fuck with
troll.
People. Because
so hard.
People were doing that to the X-Files. Yeah. Like people were going on the X-Files message board to be like, this really happens. Like X-Files are they're just telling the story. It's like,
also, a cool thing to note is in New Zealand, they purposefully cut off the credits to terrify their national audience.
As they should have.
Oh, man. So,
or cut to a commercial of what's coming on next and put it like super small so we can see anything.
Yes. Oh, that's a really good idea. Yeah. So we get this just an introduction written on the screen, documentary style. In the fall of 1997, a 16-year-old boy set out to document his family Thanksgiving dinner. What he purportedly captured on this video camera was more than just a family get-together. The following footage, if real, could be the most important evidence ever, supporting the possibility that we are not alone in the universe. This footage contains explicit and frightening images. Now, for the first time ever, watch the complete and unedited tape and decide for yourself. Alien abduction. Did it happen? Which I loved how it ended. Flag on the moon.
How to get there? I love a good BC Yucca Flash reference. But that is enough to hook me.
That move. Well, I love in the movie, they never are like, here is proof aliens exist. They're like, we don't know if this is real or not.
So the movie, like we've said, it's set up like they found the tapes and it's spliced with experts like you would see on like true crime things.
Yep.
Like there's people that are like, this is bullshit. There's a guy that's straight up like, this is bullshit. You can tell because
this is 100% fake.
Yeah. And then there's another person that's like, if this is fake, I'm pissed because why didn't I direct it? And there's another person that's like, this is 100% real.
Yeah.
How it would go. And like, if it was 100%. A real thing. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a genius idea. That was a really smart way to do it, portray it. And I loved also the director that they interviewed a director as one of the splice-ins. He was like, there's no plot.
Yeah. That's the guy that was like, if it's real, I'm pissed. Yeah. I didn't direct it.
Yeah. He's like, there's no plot. There's no story. He's like, why would they make like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's so genius to like bring up those points.
Also back to the found footage element. Like this is believable. Like why that kid was filming it. Like there's so many times where there's found footage. Like why would he be doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
honestly, actually it's funny because it's so much better in this one than the 89 one. Cause in the 89 one, the director filmed it in the 89 one. And, you can just, there's definitely an art to found footage that like I can't even explain because I don't know cinematography, but there's just scenes in the original one where I'm like, why is he holding his camera and doing this? Because it's very amateur. He's just doing it himself. In this one, it's almost perfected. They put it down at the right times. Yeah. Like it was really good. And then the first one, he's like manhandling something with like trying to do two hands and like.
And other characters in this one acknowledge the fact that the kid's still filming. Like there's a scene where they're trying to move a piece of furniture to block like a door. And she's like, we put the fucking camera down.
The mom is so irritated when the kid's like, oh, my camera's running out of battery. She's like, thank God. She's so fucking irritated by this kid. So we get that November 27th, 1997. Look at this big idiot's dumb face on the camera. Some big dumb face. We got a new album drop.
Paul's favorite band.
Who's the son of the Duke of Lion? This is not Big Dumb Face, so it's some kid's face. We introduced the family members. I did not know who to write down because I did not know who was going to be a relevant character. Turns out they're all relevant.
Yeah. It's Kurt, Brian.
Because at first I was like, do I have to, like... They're like, oh, here's Rosie, a little girl. It's like, do I have to write this shit down? It turns out I did.
You did. Who's the oldest one? Kurt.
Kurt, a.k.a. your dad.
So angry all the time. Dude. Also, he's in every Hallmark, like, original movie.
Oh, are you serious?
Ever.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I laughed so much at him because he's such a fucking red ass all the time. He's always so fucking hot about everything. Like when they walk outside, he's like, why haven't you painted the steps yet? Yeah. Like, dude notices everything. Like, he's such a pain in the ass. Like, he's so funny.
And then one of the brothers is like, why don't you like him? Because he's fucking our sister. And they're both laughing. Dude, that kid is so mad. Like, dude, like, the actor is legit mad.
That was the one where I was like, that's your dad. Like, because that's you and your brother saying something and just laughing. Dude, because the other two actors, I think, are legitimately laughing. Like, because he, like, honestly, he Paul faces him. Like, he stares at, but not even Paul face. It was like your dad.
And he's like, you think that's funny?
Yeah. It's the funniest scene. I laughed so hard at that scene. He stops. He's like, you think that's funny? You laughing about that? And they're both laughing so hard. And they're like, oh, yeah, man. Like, it was like one of my favorite scenes.
For those that don't know, my dad's very easily agitated. And my brothers and I would go out of our way, mostly me, but go out of our way to say outlandish shit to really set him off. So.
Oh, he just gets, oh man, it just makes me laugh so hard. He's like the ultimate dad. Like, that's just such a like, and that's what Kurt was this whole time. Like, every time somebody said something, he's like, Jesus Christ.
But it makes sense though, because the dad died and he took on like that role.
And Kurt
like,
took on the role.
Like,
yeah.
He's hurting because he doesn't have his dad. Yeah. And he's like being like an extra hard ass to protect his family. I loved it.
I mean, it was smart. It was really smart. And also that fact about the dad dying. At the beginning, I had no idea who was related to who. I was so confused at first, which is also kind of good because it wasn't, there was no exposition. Like, they weren't like, here's my brother, Kurt. No.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a real dickhead. Like, like, nothing like that. You had to find out, like, it was within like the first 30 minutes or so, but like, you had to wait to find out who everyone was, what their relationships were with each other.
So we have the older brother, his wife, daughter.
And the daughter, Rosie.
Yes.
Kurt.
Then we have
Linda, Rosie.
The middle brother, who is banging Sloan. some
banging who?
Sloan.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
Not college.
Yeah.
that's her name from Entourage.
Oh, okay. that's awesome. So, yes. So you have the other brother, Brian, who's banging Sloan. They're all together at Thanksgiving, and he's banging her in the bathroom. Then you have the younger brother, Tommy, who's holding the camera, who likes to film his brother banging Sloan.
Yes.
Very weird. Again, not into that.
No.
Not into that at all. Last thing you'd ever want to see, your boyfriend fucking.
Your brother fucking.
Your brother fucking.
And your boyfriend, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, that would be bad if you saw your boyfriend fucking, too. I mean, who wants to see that? So, what the fuck? That just threw me off. So Tommy is walking around introducing us to all these characters. He catches his brother Brian having sex, fornicating in the bathroom. Naughty, naughty. And
while saying he's filming, fornicating is something else.
The fact that it comes to mind for a 16-year-old is alarming.
I will say I got yelled at in school for using that word. Because she was like, I'm trying to think of a word that starts with F.
That's like, that's funny. School's a weird place, man. Because, like, that's the most innocent way to say sex.
Because I knew I was getting more trouble. Fucking.
Yeah. Like, she really should have counted her blessings on that.
Right.
One. So these guys are all their brothers. They mentioned that their sister, Meg, is missing. I can't believe I know all these names. Oh, Mel. So they have a sister, Mel, who is missing. They don't know where Mel is, and they're waiting on Mel to come in. Lights all go out in the house. Boom. We see some flashes of light in the distance. No one knows what it is. Obviously, everyone assumes it's lightning. Yep. Mel shows up with her new boyfriend, Matthew.
Yes.
Matthew is black. And the only reason I mention that is because Kurt is real pissed about it. Yeah. And everyone's like, is it because he's black? And he's like, no, it's because he's got an attitude. This guy is like the nicest
man. Yeah.
Like, he greets everyone. Like, that's exactly how you'd want your child's significant other to greet you. Like, perfect. Like,
shaking everyone's hand.
And everyone loves him, by the way, like, immediately. Like, all the brothers are like, oh, hey, Matthew. Like, everyone's so friendly. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
So Kurt just stares him down.
stares him down, like literally doesn't say anything to him. So all the men in the house are going to go look and see what happened to the power. So they go outside after staring down poor Matthew. They go outside. This is when Kurt's like, weren't you supposed to paint the front steps? He's like, I'm going to get to it, man. And then Kurt, like, they're walking and Kurt's just like, can you believe Mel with this Matthew guy? And everyone's like, the two brothers are like looking at each other. It's legitimate. Like, it feels real. Like, it feels like,
yeah, because
awkward as fuck. And like,
Brian, that's the part where he's like, you're just mad because he's fucking your sister.
Yeah, he's like, why? Because he's black? He's like, no, it's because he's got an attitude. And they're like, oh, right. Because he's doing our sister. And dude, that guy gets it. Like, that guy totally gets it. And they just start laughing their asses off. And Kurt is just so fucking mad. And he's like shining the flashlight in their faces. That was like the ultimate dad move. Like whipping around and being like, you think that's funny? Shining flashlight in their face. Directly in their eyes. It's insane. But that really like kind of, there's like a little bit of racial tension here and then later on. And honestly, it kind of didn't make sense in the movie. I think they added it to make it more, I don't know. I don't know why they added it. Because you'd think there would be an element of like, using that as some type of motivator later or like compassion later, like show them getting together. But it's not your typical movie and that doesn't happen. So
yeah, no,
the purpose for it is just odd. Just
people are dicks sometimes.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's it. Just kind of paint Kurt. I don't know. Cause it's so weird. Cause there is no character development in this.
There isn't.
Nobody
there
changes.
Is. Because, but you know why Kurt is like that. Cause the dad.
Well, no, that's true. That's true.
Like, you know their backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got a good backstory and they're playing it well, but there's no like development. Like Kurt's never like, I was wrong about Matthew.
No. Like
that just doesn't
he doesn't get a chance to.
No, well that's true too. Maybe in the okay.
The sequel.
The sequel. So they go out there, they find the fuse box has completely melted.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, everyone is like, hey man. That's totally fucked up. Kurt's like, it's just lightning. Everyone's like, nah. And then they hear a giant blast in the back and see like a big flashlight.
Transformer.
Yeah. And they're like, holy shit, what was that? Kurt's like, man, it was a gun. Everyone's like, that is not a gun. And he's like, no, it was a gun. So the three brothers decide to go investigate this noise. Three Brothers, the movie.
Yeah, well, the two older ones send the one with the video camera back.
Yes.
And he like runs after him a minute later.
Yeah. And we learn that the mom is an alcoholic and both brothers immediately blame the youngest one. The 16-year-old
kid. Because he's like, mom's on her second glass of wine. And the older kid's like, what? I thought you talked to her. And like the kid explains this always like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I did talk to her.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, maybe if you guys were around more. And he's like, Jesus Christ. You know, I got my big job. Yeah, I got a job. I can't watch what mom's drinking all the time. It's so fucking crazy.
Also, the older one could clearly just go back and tell her himself.
Just smash the fucking bottle of wine and be like, mom, cut this shit.
Well, isn't that what he suggests? And the little kid's like, why wouldn't she just buy more?
It's so funny. It's really good. It's such a good movie. And to blame a 16-year-old kid for your mom's alcoholism, probably not a great idea.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So the 16-year-old's like, Tommy is like, no, listen, like I did talk to her. She just keeps drinking. She's like, he's like, it's worse than before. He's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, I'm telling you right now.
That is what it says.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's like, I'm telling you right now. And then he's also like, yeah. And then sometimes she goes into dad's closet and rubs his clothes. I'm like, oh, well, that's weird. And Kurt has like no issues with that. He's like, well. Whatever. As they approach, they see this like transformer exploding. So clearly they're doing something with the electricity. They're zapping boxes or whatever. They go, what's that over there? And they start using the camcorder to zoom in and they see a giant fucking, and it was awesome because they're like, what is that? They're like, is that some type of like airplane? Like they're like the airfield. And they're like, no, that's not like the airfield's too far away. Like, what is that? Like they're looking at it and Tommy's like, that's a UFO. And in my notes, I was literally about to write as he said that, I was about to be like, it is the most UFO looking thing of all time. Like even if you don't believe it's a UFO, you're like, that's a fucking UFO. Okay. Like, until I go down there and look a little further, that's a fucking UFO. Right. Like, and Tommy's like, that's a UFO. And they're like, get the fuck out of here. And then they look in the camera and they're like, holy shit, that's an alien. Like, yeah. Like, those are fucking aliens. And I just love that. Cause like, at some point,
same, because that's probably anybody's thought process.
Yes.
Like, well, fuck.
I mean, if you saw that thing, like, you're in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yes. And they gut a cow in like 2 seconds with like this like laser beam.
I'm just thinking about like, yeah.
Here's what I'll
say.
Can
you imagine being in the woods with Paul?
Oh my God, you're right.
Seeing a fucking UFO.
Well, I'd feel really.
Because it would go something like this. Paul would be like, that's a UFO. And I would be like, no, really? And Paul would be like, yeah, Joe, it's a fucking UFO.
What the fuck do you think it is? Look at it. It just came from fucking space, Joe.
Yeah, and then we would all die.
And this was honestly, like, freaking me out. Like, these scenes were freaking me out because these guys are playing nervous and excited so well here. So I guess you're right, because you would be like, you'd have so much adrenaline going because you're like seeing something so terrifying and new. Like, you'd be like shaking probably, like, holy fuck. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, you'd have to like let it out somehow. But the tension gave me goosebumps. And you can't see much in this scene at all. It's very dark. Like, I could barely see anything. And they did hushed whispers. Like, they did end up whispering after a little while. Like, they were like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And it worked. So Willow Creek, take note, you don't have to just be in a fucking tent whispering and not see anything and just hear rocks getting thrown at your tent. You could show shit. Like, they were showing us aliens. It was really fuzzy and stuff. But I had goosebumps, man. Like, I was afraid. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was tense. And all they were doing was sitting there whispering and being like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? But you could see something. It wasn't two idiots in a tent being like.
Exactly.
So take note, found footage people. Don't be an asshole. Don't be Bobcat Goldthwait. Stupid idiot.
Hi, man.
That's a really good Bobcat. Good job. Wow. You could do Bobcat. That's useful for one reference. Oh, man. Get our first interview after that. The cop who's like, I can't say anything, but all I can tell you is the family's missing and all we have is the videotape.
That's the best, because they do that in real things. Like, why are those cops even going there?
Yeah,
I just can't talk about it. It's an ongoing investigation.
You see it on the news all the time. Like, well, we have no comment at the time, but like, everyone's dead. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, thanks. But yeah, so that's what we get from the cop. So we at least know, like, we know the end, too. Like, that's the funny thing. Like, they're telling us the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They're saying,
oh, yeah,
no one's here.
Right.
Everyone's gone. This is all you're going to get is whatever's on this videotape.
Right.
So,
again, the whole point of found footage is that you know that this is found. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that they're not
making it. They did it perfectly. Yeah. They did it perfectly. So they run back, tell the family, who's like, you guys are bananas.
Well, one of them gets shot.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that. Yeah. They're like, they're looking at us. They're looking at us. And they lift up like a laser pointer.
A ray gun. Yeah. A laser.
It was a laser pointer. And they, it was like a ray gun. And they're like, ah, they just start screaming and they run back.
Yeah. And one, it hit him in the hand.
Yeah.
It's like a burn mark.
Yeah. It was like a giant burn mark in his hand. Brian.
The middle one.
Yeah. So they run back to the house, tell the family, who's like, you guys are stupid. The whole family does not believe this at all. And it's tough to say. Like, a lot of the things in this, I'm like, how would I react in this? I like that about this movie, because I think they did it so well that there was never a moment where I was like, why would you do that? But there were moments where I was like, what would I do, like, if they came running in? And I think I'd end up believing him only because Kurt is such a fucking stick in the mud.
Yeah, it's a great question, because I don't think I would.
Even Kurt, who's like dry as fucking.
No, I would believe that they saw something.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no way I'd be like,
aliens are coming to attack
us. You saw a UFO.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know, though. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, there's no... Cause there's
and Kurt's such a fucking...
nobody's ever seen that before.
And Kurt's such a stick in the mud. Like, you know he's got no, like, real-world experience besides the fucking bait shop. So you're like, all right, Kurt.
Yeah.
You saw your first...
You got spooked for
tractor, trailer, something. You fucking moron. Yeah, so I guess you're right about that. But they do see lights flash across the house. And they're like, oh, it looks like the ship's leaving. Okay. That's cool. And by the way, most of this you don't see. Like, you rarely see aliens. You rarely see anything. It's all just suspense. And it's really well done. So they decide to have Thanksgiving dinner and light the Thanksgiving candle, a tradition I've never heard of.
Never.
Where you light a candle and you pass it around.
Say what you're thankful for?
Yeah, you like pass it to the... Or you say what you're thankful for to the person... About the person on your right.
Okay.
So...
I'd never do anything so stupid.
Of course not. Although I'm sure a lot of people do this in their home. And it is lovely if your family participates in that.
That's honestly more unbelievable than aliens in the fucking forest.
In 2017, if people enjoy their families that much, very... I don't buy it for a second. But yeah, they do this candle thing, and Kurt's wife gets the candle first, and she gives like the most beautiful romantic speech to her husband. She's like, I love you so much, and you work so hard. So she passes it to her husband, who's like, Mel, to his sister, he's like, oh, fuck, I can't do this. And just slams the candle down. And just as that's happening... They see an alien outside the window. And it is creepy as fuck the way they did it. You see, like, just this, like,
there's
blur.
A movement. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just enough to freak you the fuck
it's
out.
It's the most effective thing ever because they do that multiple times.
Yeah. And that's all you need.
It's all you need.
Just
something
dude.
That you know.
It's so
is
eerie,
there.
Dude. It's so fucking eerie. Just little dudes creeping around your house. Also, it's so funny to think of aliens just walking around your home.
I mean, yeah, if they got here, why wouldn't they just enter? And they
probably
have all
just
these
zap your fucking house.
They have all these powers. You're right. You know what? Fuck this movie.
I mean, it's stupid.
Had all these powers to incapacitate everybody.
Like, the one that really got me was when they crawl into the window on the roof. That's such a complicated thing to do. I'd just be like, imagine you're aliens with all these powers and your buddy's like, all right, you want to climb up on the roof and enter through the attic? And you're like, no, I'd really much rather go through the fucking front door. Just fucking take them. Like, maybe the guy that
traveling galaxies.
Maybe the leader of this unit is just like a really dramatic dude, and like the rest of the aliens are probably like, not again with this fucking bullshit. Like, do we really have to scare him first? And he's like, yes. Like, it's part of our ritual. It's part of our heritage. We spook him first, and then we go in and then get him.
He's a real Randall Boggs. Is his name?
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc.?
Yes. We got to scare him first. And the other aliens are just like, ah, Jesus Christ. It's fucking Bob again. Bob and his bullshit. Fucking wants to crawl up on the roof. Can you believe this fucking asshole? Yeah, Bob, we're coming. Like, but yeah, so the aliens are just like creeping around the house, just fucking with them. Method Man and Red Man style. What's that?
How high?
No. What's that song where they're like creeping around the house about to murder somebody from Blackout?
Serial killer?
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty easy name.
But spelled with a C?
Yes, I do remember
that. It had
that.
Nothing to do with serial?
So stupid. Definitely just a spelling error. Matthew, the boyfriend, this is when tensions really boil over, and then nothing happens after this. Because Matthew's like, hey, man, your family's got some weird rituals. And then Kurt, like, loses his fucking mind. And they literally get into, like, a fight, like, rolling around on the ground.
Yeah, and there's a shotgun involved.
And there's a shotgun involved, which terrified me. Like, even watching a fake movie, I was like, why is this happening?
Well, it's Matthew so points it out, because the kid, like, Kurt is, like, in his face, but, like, and, like, he's not pointing the gun at him, but the gun's leaning towards him, and Matthew's like, get the shit out of my face.
Yeah. It's so, they did a really good job in this, man. They really did. Then they all finally decide, like, hey, wait a minute. Our idiot brother has been filming everything. Let's watch it, and I'll show you guys that there's a real alien. And it cuts. We see the scribble. and it comes back. Everyone's got like their hands on their like we literally went from like it was amazing because like you literally go from a room of people like being like, yeah, let's see that alien, and then it cuts back and everyone's got their hands on their head and they're like, oh my god, like what are we gonna fucking do? Yeah. We're all doomed. Like it's so amazing. It's so fucking amazing. Why would they wouldn't have done that earlier? But yeah, so they finally look through and the family's just devastated. And the mom's just like, well, maybe it's some pranksters. And everyone's like, moms, am I right? everyone's freaking out though. Not good. Not good. Then they all start hearing shit.
Yes. And there's like it's like really high frequency, so we can't hear it.
We can't hear it in the camera.
Yeah, it like fucked up everybody but Rose.
So I don't even think it's in the I don't even think it's a frequency. I love this movie, man, because they don't explain everything. I think we learn later they may have telepathy or like brain shit.
Yeah.
I think they're playing it in their heads.
Okay.
Because like later on they like start fucking with people's heads and making them see things. Yeah. Like, so I think they're just playing it in their heads. It's not even an audible thing.
Okay.
I think it's just like this. I think. I don't know. I could be wrong.
That makes sense.
It doesn't matter because we don't know. And if we asked the guy, he'd probably be like,
who cares?
Oh, fucking
so God. Insignificant.
I just didn't have the money to make the noise, all right? Like, why are you asking me this?
But it does not affect the little girl. It
does not affect the little girl. We don't hear it. The little girl doesn't hear it. We hear screaming. Shit starts falling off the walls. Fade to commercial. I love the commercial breaks, by the way. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine watching? I mean, I know I watched it as a kid live. Or I assume I watched it live. I don't think they played it again. But I don't remember it. But could you imagine like going to commercial and being like, the fuck? Like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
And probably even back then in 98, you're probably checking your TV with the noise. Like, you're probably like turning it up on.
Sure.
Yeah, it's so cool. We meet Damien Hawkins, filmmaker. And this is the first one where I was like, this is awesome because he's like, he's explaining it's not fake. Those people are not actors. Aliens aren't walking down ramps like E.T.
Yes.
I loved that. I mean, and it's so funny because it's so obvious when you're like looking at it from our perspective now where you're like, well, of course you would put a guy that says it. But the way he does it is just so effective. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because the juxtaposition of like him versus people being like, this is fake, that makes it better. But I just loved it. I just love that he was like, I don't know. It's so good. It's so natural. And he's like, there's no plot.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. He's like, there's no plot. There's no story. These are just people trying to get out of their house. I was like, fuck. Like, that's so good. And then it just, it's basically these clips are bumpers for when they come in and out of commercial,
yes.
Essentially. We go back to the house. Kurt and Tommy go out to get the car because they're going to get the fuck out of there. Tommy reveals he pissed himself. And in another classic dad move, Kurt just turns around and is like, you what?
So bigger fish to fry.
So mad at his brother for pissing his pants. And then like, again, like talking about like having your head in the wrong headspace. And it like just made it all the more realistic. Kurt's like, whatever, man. I'm not going to tell anybody. Like not even being like, listen, man, it's okay. Like we're going to be all right. Because obviously he's terrified. He pissed himself. He's like, yeah, don't worry. I won't tell anyone. Like, that's his concern. Like, yeah, it's so fucking funny. They get to the car, but it doesn't work. Yeah. Fried just like the fuse box. Totally
battery
melted.
Melted.
They also they go back to the house. They all notice their watches have stopped. All your typical stuff. They start hearing noises on the roof.
Yep. Little Santa's reindeer.
Yeah. Little bells ringing. And the mom goes, it's probably raccoons picking through the trash.
On the roof.
So insane. Actually, I like deleted my notes because I wrote like they hear noises on the roof. And she's like, oh, it's probably raccoons picking through the trash. I was like, oh, I must have fucked that up. I must have misread that scene. And no, it was on the roof. It was 100% on the roof. Mom's just an idiot. And Tommy goes out, sees the attic window open, and he's like, the aliens are in the fucking house. They don't swear, by the way.
No.
TV. Actually, they do swear, but it's bleeped,
yes.
Which is awesome. Kurt decides he's going to go upstairs to scope it out. And this scene is so unnerving.
Before that, Tommy changes his pants. And
No.
It's right after that?
Yeah, it's at this point, because they're going upstairs. Tommy changes his pants upstairs.
Okay.
That scene was weird. So they're going upstairs. This scene was so unnerving to me. And it's your typical, I want to call it typical, but it's so not typical.
Well, even, I don't even like when they climb into the attic, but all you see is like the last leg going into the attic. Like you don't see the you know what I mean? Like the alien.
Oh, climbing. I didn't even notice that.
Oh, you see like something move. Like,
oh,
like
I didn't even second. See that.
Yeah.
Oh, because I was wondering like why he thought, I mean, besides the window was ajar, but oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's creepy as fuck. And I still don't even mind that they went into the attic. I mean, aliens are people too. Well, aliens are aliens too. But it's just, I don't know. It's again, like this movie does it well enough where I'm okay with them coming into the fuck. Like, I don't know. They just want to creep us out first. But they're going up these stairs and it takes them like 5 minutes to get up the flight of stairs because they're going so slow and they're looking around and it's just really unnerving, really, really unnerving. They're slowly going up. You can't see anything, just the flashlights. Tommy goes into his room, puts the camera down, and you're like, Jesus Christ, like, what are we going to see? Like, and they also gave you like kind of a hint when an alien was going to come because the camera would like
get all
glitch
fun.
Out. Yeah, like glitch out. So we see it glitch out while Tommy's changing his pants, but nothing happens. He picks up the camera, turns around. There's a fucking alien in his room.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the fuck happens here. Because he turns out the light on the camera, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And then all I see is like an alien head. But I don't know what I was supposed to understand what happened there.
It like subdues him. He's in like a trance, Tommy is. And the alien like investigates the camera.
Oh,
like, I think the analysts check out like, what is this thing?
Yeah, this is a threat.
And like, Tommy doesn't know that this is happening because he was just like under.
Oh, I was so fucking confused about that scene. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So is that the same alien that they trap right now or no?
I'm not sure. It's his brother.
Yeah. So Cletus. Anyway, like Tommy like walks out or something and then Kurt is like, I got one. And he's got one locked in the room, which... Not really a victory there, pal. They climb the fucking house. Probably just walk out. Yeah, it's really weird. We cut to Julian Bond, musician. Why? I don't know. And this guy, this interview probably could have done without this guy, but it also just adds to it. I don't know. Like, is Julian Bond a real musician? I have no idea. I didn't look it up. Probably should have.
There's no way.
And he's just this British guy who's complaining about being abducted by aliens. He's like, big-headed wankers, take you out of your life and putting you under the light. And he's really upset about how this video, like, he's like, this is exactly what happened to me. 100% what happened to me when I got abducted. Back in the house, Kurt's telling him to get some rope. I figured they were going to try and tie up the alien, but Kurt, like a four-year-old, is trying to... That is not Julian Bond. Kurt ties up the handle of the door and is holding it with rope.
Fucking aliens.
The idiotic thing. Most idiotic plan I've ever heard. And like the wife's holding it. And she's like, this is not working. The alien's about to shoot a laser through the door. We see the big red light.
Yeah, they have like infrared scopes.
Yeah. Well, first Kurt is about to just shoot through the door regardless. Like, he's just like, fuck it. And everyone's like, no, why are you going to shoot him? Which, what camp are you in? I'm in shoot him.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
So there's an X-Files episode where the guy works for the government and he's like, it's like there's only three known cases of aliens. That have like come to Earth and I killed one of them and he's like devastated by it.
Oh, really?
And, like, I always thought about that. Like, imagine this thing comes to Earth and you just fucking kill one.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I think so too.
They shot your brother in the hand. Like, they're sneaking into your house. Like,
I mean,
they're not like coming to the door like, hey, how's it going? Outer space man here. Like, just saying hi. Like, they're like climbing through your attic window, like nefarious means. Like, running around the house.
Yeah, I think I'm in that camp too.
So he wants to shoot him. Everyone's saying no. The alien's about to shoot a laser through the door, so Kurt blasts the perfect circle through the door. That shotgun shell just makes a perfect circle. That's how the band got its name.
I got free tickets to see them on Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yeah. I'm not going.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Counting bodies like shit. Maynard.
What a jerk. Did it all for you.
Maynard's such a tool.
Yeah. I imagine Maynard's such a tool. Nice.
I hate Maynard.
He is good on that Green Jelly song, though.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. Pretending to be pigs. Green Jelly, Three Little Pigs. Check it out if you've never heard it before.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite songs. My cousin showed me that when I was probably in the age where I loved aliens. And I was like, this song is melting my brain. And then he showed me the video, the claymation video.
Rambo.
And then comes Rambo. Dude, that video is fucking like the epitome of 90s. And it blew my mind, blew my hair back. And then my cousin's like trying to tell me like the history of Green Jelly and Jell-O. Like, oh yeah, they got sued. I was like, I don't know what that means. So,
so they used the umlaut.
Yeah. So they shoot the alien. They go in. Alien's down. But they notice that the light gun is missing. So they cover up the body with a sheet. You can pretty much figure that that's going to be empty later. It is. They go downstairs. Everyone gets nosebleeds. What else happens? All the men, they're like, hey, let's go outside again. And then, one of the girls is like, I think everyone should go outside. I was like, what the fuck is the matter with you, fucking idiot? Most idiotic idea I've ever heard. Like, she's like legitimately like, I think every single one of us should go outside. Terrible idea.
Yeah. Then there's a big ball of light.
Big ball of light. Big red light. And Renee goes down. Brian's girlfriend, Renee, a.k.a.
Sloan.
Sloan from Entourage. She goes down. And we cut. We get Jason Arnett from the Video Matrix Laboratories. He's telling us that this tape is 100% fake. This is absolutely fake. He analyzed the tape.
And he tells you why. And honestly, it's 100% confusing. Why. No, yeah. But he's like,
it's
grainy.
Yeah, he's like, there's some pixelation. And the only time this could happen is if the image was so intense, it burned a sharper image in it. Or they use special effects. Yeah. And that's what his pitch is. Back at the house, Renee's fucking dead. Not quite. But she has a pulse. It's very slow. Brian turns on Kurt. He's like, if you didn't shoot the aliens, they wouldn't have done this. To my response is, Brian, they fucking shot you first.
They shot you.
Rosie's missing. They find her upstairs. We're getting a weird vibe from Rosie now because she's like upstairs trying to like get to the alien.
Yeah.
By herself.
Yep.
Like trying to move a giant bookcase.
And like the whole time, Rosie's like the calm one and keeps being like, nah, it's fine. Like
very weird. Fine. Yeah. Very, very unsettling. Like, yeah.
She likes, you know, on like Blair Witch, the ones quote unquote scary scenes when that guy's staring at the wall.
Yeah.
That's like Rosie the entire
time. The entire time.
Like staring at all these things.
Yeah. Like she's just, yeah. Yeah. It's really unnerving. So Kurt is finally leaving. He keeps trying to leave to go to the car. And literally every time somebody's like, oh, wait. An alien fart. And then, like, it draws everyone's attention.
Well, he's trying to go back to replace the battery, right?
Yeah, he's trying to get a battery from a tractor to put in the truck and bring it back and get everyone. And the little girl is super fucking ominous. Like Kurt is leaving. And the little girl's like, that's probably not a good idea, Daddy.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit. But they're...
But honestly, it's not.
No. And Kurt leaves with Brian?
Yeah.
The two brothers, the two oldest brothers go out.
And together. Matthew guards the door.
Matthew's on guard duty. And they say, we'll knock three times when we come back. That's how you'll know it's us.
Yeah.
Good plan. Good fucking plan.
I love this scene because it's also very realistic because... Or not just this actual scene, but I love that concept because the wife is freaking out because her husband's not coming back and she hears a knock and Matthew's like, they said three times, like they would knock three times. And she's like, let me out.
And
fuck you.
Even more, they knocked twice.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh man, it was just like, it gave me a little bit of chill. Like it was just like, so, cause
her reaction would be like, that's them. Like,
yeah.
Let them in.
Yeah.
You're going to kill them.
And
like, why wouldn't you think that?
You would. Even but then. And like, cause my qualm was like, if it was them, they'd be like, let us the fuck in out loud. But they're not saying anything. But even as a distraught wife, you're like, open that fucking door. Because maybe their mouths are wired shut.
Or they don't want the things to hear them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Or that. That's a good point, Jill. But yeah, they only knocked twice, and the wife's like, open that fucking
door. She's like, you're not part of this family.
Oh, yeah, it was
chilling. He's doing a good job.
And Matt doesn't do anything. Matthew hugs her in that moment. And you're like, fuck, man, that's heavy shit.
And they make out.
Dude, that scene blew my fucking hair back, man. That scene was awesome. Also, the girls, it's like, because the mom's like screaming about the dad, and the girl's like, don't worry, you'll be with daddy soon. And at some point, somebody should be like, hey
girl, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I'm trying to get out of here.
Will you stop being a little fucking creep? You're really scaring the piss out of everyone right now. They keep also showing these graphic image warnings every time they come back from break, like, viewer discretion advised, which just makes you like, oh man. And like, there's really nothing graphic in this at all.
No.
But it, like, they just like, yeah, the anticipation just kills you in it.
Also, before the knocking scene, they hear gunshots.
Oh,
and they're all like, they're shooting at something.
Yeah. Yep. And also, I'm pretty sure the voiceover that does the viewer discretion, I'm pretty sure it's Kurt. Like 90% sure it's Kurt. We meet Dr. Benjamin Green, clinical psychologist. He says he's disturbed by the little girl's behavior because she's the only calm one. And she's trying to calm others, which is normally a parent role. And she appears to be possessed. Which we never do figure out.
I think the aliens are just...
in her head?
Yeah.
Back at the house, red lights engulfing the house. People are freaking out. Kurt's wife, Linda, runs to the door. Crazy Linda's still trying to get outside. She gets taken out. They talk her down. We already kind of talked about that. And then, so they're all like trying to calm down in the room. Matt's playing like peacekeeper. And then Kurt's wife, just start making out in front of Mel.
And she's like, what the hell?
Yeah. And he's like, I thought that was you.
Yeah.
And they're also hearing things at the same time, I think. I think they're also like...
I think Tommy's the one that's like, can't you see what's happening? Like, they're fucking with us.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Tommy sets down the camera because the batteries are dying. And we see Rosie come in and take the bullets out of the gun.
The gun, yep.
Fucking creepy as fuck. Tommy and the mom get into a fight about drinking.
Irrelevant. But
it is.
Again, it's like a good family element.
Like, yeah, like, because it's like a passionate fight. And like, you know, you wouldn't think about fighting about that in that moment. But
yeah,
like,
but your emotions are all bottled up. Things are going to come out.
Yeah. And in this moment, we're also learning that, you know, everyone that's in the house, that's left in the house, is kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, what the fuck do we do? Like, we have nothing, no option but to wait.
And they all clearly know those two boys are dead.
Oh, yeah. Like, no one is pretending. No one's fucking pretending. The only reason they're pretending is, like, for Rosie's sake.
Yeah.
Who, like, honestly, Rosie doesn't give a fuck right now. Rosie's just like, whatever.
Yeah. And then everyone starts feeling a burning sensation.
Oh, that was wild. Like, on the back of their necks and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's like making a triangle, right? A triangle-shaped burn.
I didn't notice the shape, but they all had the same like blotch in the same spot. And they're all like, it's on fire.
For Rose.
Yeah. And Rosie's like, don't worry. Just give it a minute. It'll go away.
Damn it, Rosie.
And everyone's like, no, it's melting my skin.
At what point do you throw Rosie the fuck out of the house?
Dude, I put her in a garbage disposal so fast. Because honestly, everyone is like Tommy's like, my fucking skin is melting. Everyone's freaking the fuck out. And then they're like, wait, it's gone. Rosie's like, see, I told you. Like, all right, Rosie, I'm going to fucking bash your head in. Fucking stupid shit. Matt says he's going to go out to get the car. He goes off by himself. They immediately hear the knock. Like 2 seconds later, they're like, that was fast. They go to open the door. Commercial. We meet Eileen Burchess. I think she might be our last one. No, second to last. And she's telling us this is definitely real. But she's like, I don't understand it, though, because it appears that they captured them for sample purposes. Like, just like the cow, like they were doing scientific research. Like, they're not coming here to just cut up a cow. She's like, but there also must have been some element of vengeance involved in this, because if they didn't interrupt the cow thing, they wouldn't have gone after that family.
Right.
And you're like, fuck, like that's cool to like acknowledge that. It's really fucking cool. Power comes back on the house and Tommy's just like, guys, they are fucking with us. Like, stop. Like, They are just messing with us.
It's like the blender's turning on.
Yeah, appliances are going on and off. Rosie's not affected at all. They're freaking out inside. Camera's scrambling. They end up going outside to look, to check. They're like, fine, let's all go out and see what we can find. They go out to the car. They find everybody's shit. All their weapons, lights.
Mangled.
All there, all melted. And they're like, oh my God, no bodies whatsoever to be found. And then we see the aliens walking towards them through the woods. And that is an eerie, eerie fucking sight. Like, that is creepy as fuck. As they're like running around, they're like hearing the phone ringing inside. So the front door is locked. They can't get in. Then they hear the phone ringing and they're like, oh, let's try that door again. And it opens. Like, they're completely fucking with them at this point, like totally fucking with them. Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird. And then we hear, they go into the house. They're just freaking out. Rosie's just like, mommy, mommy, Renee's dead. And Renee, deader than a doornail. We meet our last guest speaker, Colonel Ronald Hampton, retired United States Air Force. He says this is 100% proof aliens are real, based on their movement.
Of course.
That we have not seen, because it's pitch black every time we see a fucking alien. And he's like, yeah, the way they move is so natural. Can't be fake. All right. You're almost as bright as the retired Air Force guy from the convention.
The convention.
I was like, well, Jesus Christ, we have all the proof we need to move forward. They go to check out Renee, who's dead. Mel's like, I can't hear her heart. And Rosie's like, yeah, you can't hear it because she's dead. It was like the best line in movie history. A four-year-old telling you why a person's dead. Mel being like, huh? Why isn't she breathing? It's weird.
They barricade themselves in the house.
Yeah.
Start putting furniture in front of the windows, the doors. Tommy gives like a, I don't know, what do you call that? Soliloquy.
Soliloquy. Yeah, I don't know.
Will I live to see tomorrow?
Dude, I was laughing so hard to go back to that Renee scene. I was just laughing so hard at that scene because that scene is like a few minutes long and everyone's just like, oh, she's cold. They're just saying things that happen to dead people and they're like so confused. Like, wait, she has no pulse. She's fucking dead. She's fucking dead, you fucking idiots. They basically give up at this point. It looks like they've succumbed to whatever's going to happen to them. They're all just sitting around the kitchen table. Linda, wife of Kurt, is like, you know, she's like, you know, me and Kurt would sneak off to the pantry and she's like about to tell like a sex story about her and Kurt, which had me laughing. But even better, the mom whips around and is like, not now, Linda. Not in front of Rosie. Jesus Christ. And finally, a scene without screaming when Tommy gives his soliloquy. That was the only reason I liked that scene, was because, like, finally, for the first time, people aren't just, like, screaming at the top of their lungs. I was starting to get a headache at this point. This movie was an hour and 40 minutes. The original was, like, 80 minutes. So they added a bunch of stuff to the end. And I can tell you where they cut it off. I don't know. Did you read where they cut it off originally? It's an interesting choice. We'll talk about it at the end. So Tommy gives his goodbyes. He's like, they killed my brother. He's just rehashing everything that's happened. I miss my dad. I wish he was here. Gives his I love yous. Goes downstairs. Rosie goes, hey, Uncle Tommy, it's time to put the camera down. Puts it down, and we watch the family just playing cards. Rosie's being fucking weird as fuck, though, because Rosie's like, hang on one second. I got stuff to do. And, like, gets up and walks away, lets the aliens in. We see her go. We see the red light.
And, like, the way the aliens enter the room is, like, so casually. It's just like an old guest came over for dinner.
They were, like, swinging their arm, like... They've got like,
but it was creepy because of that.
Yeah, they just
show up like
what up?
And like the kid Tommy's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Tommy screams. They all get up. They're all screaming. But all of a sudden, They stop screaming, except for Tommy, who's like, what the fuck is happening? And they just use mind control.
Yeah.
And they, like, take him.
Yep.
Like, peacefully. Like, they just, like, put up their hand and, like, the sister leaves. Then they get Tommy, who's screaming. They get him to shut the fuck up. They take him. And on the way out, they like look at the camera and they shut it down.
Like,
yeah.
Also, the whole time the camera is getting like the frequency.
Yeah, yeah. It's all glitchy and stuff and
warped.
Yeah. And the aliens shut down the camera. And then at the end, they go, if you have any information regarding the whereabouts of these people, please contact the producers at 1-800-555-0022.
Yeah.
Sweet. And then they flash all of their photographs at the end.
I loved it.
It was eerie as shit. Eerie as shit. Should we call the number?
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on. Let's see if we got any tips. Let's see if they found the
mystery. Have you tried this yet?
No. but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, we're calling that number. It probably just doesn't work. Isn't 555 like a
bullshit?
A secret number?
Oh, well, that's definitely an alien.
Dude, fucking
facts?
That's alien. If I've ever heard one.
The loudest noise ever.
That was so loud. Well, so that number doesn't work. So, yeah. So this movie, original runtime was like 80 minutes. And it ended with them outside. And they just get Tommy. Like, Tommy's like, what the fuck? And then they freeze him. And take him with them.
Yeah.
And that's the end. I think the length of this one, the hour and 40 minutes, is too long.
Do you?
I do. I think they could have really shortened it up because after, like, there's so much. Like, we kind of breezed through that end, but there's a lot of shit in there, man. Like,
I thought it was perfect. The perfect length.
I thought it was just a little too long. But then again, I hate anything over an hour and 30 minutes. So. I literally can't stomach it.
10 minutes
over. Dude, I can't stomach it. I can't stomach it. I can't fucking stomach it. Overall, though, I mean, it's amazing. Like, I really do love it. I love it so much. It's like such a little critique in it. But I just think, because the 1989 one is like 55 minutes. Like, I think 60 to 80 minutes, you could say. Because clearly they've edited it, right? Like, they didn't have to leave everything. I don't know. Whatever, man. Go fuck yourself. So what do you think? What do you rate it?
Man, I give it a 4 out of 5. I could go higher.
You could go higher. I like it a lot. I think I gave it 4. I think I gave it 4 on Letterboxd.
I can go 4.5.
I might have gone 4.5. I forget. But yeah,
I loved it.
It's got it. It's got it all. It might be one of the most perfect found footage movies.
Oh, it not might be. In you my think opinion,
it's the best. Maybe not the
I
best.
I would have like, to go through.
All right.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
Better than Blair Witch.
I'd say it's probably one of the most accurate found footage ones in terms of like we found the footage.
I agree.
Like there was no like
I liked it more in Paranormal Activity.
Well, yeah.
I gotta rewatch what was that called? The Last Broadcast.
I haven't seen that.
About the Jersey Devil.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Is it found footage?
Mm-hmm.
I love found footage.
Before Blair Witch.
That found footage website I was telling you about earlier, all they do is talk about found footage movies, and they just review them on their website, and they have like 580.
That sounds terrible.
And he's like such an aficionado about them, and he's like, yeah, and he's like, they make about 70 or 80 per year. And I was like, yeah,
that's like my nightmare.
Out of here. But like, he knows about all of it. Is your nightmare? Dude, probably... It has to be like 99% of them are poorly done.
Honestly, I want to thank this guy because somebody has to do it, and I'm just glad it's not me.
Dude, I completely agree with that because I use his site to like find him because I love him. And yeah, it's like really, it is like one of those things where it's like, I see some of the titles and I'm just like, what? I would never subject myself to that. It's like you with your music. Like, I'm like, why are you listening? Why are you listening to DJ Khaled's new fucking album? Like, you know, you're not going to like it. Like, just turn it the fuck off. Like, don't do that to yourself.
Dude, I'm on their site right now. They gave Mr. Biffo's found footage 9.4.
Mr. Biffo?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
It came out this year, apparently, though.
Well, I'm on it. Mr. Biffo?
Dude, they've how many? Holy shit.
580 they have on their site, they said.
Yeah, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, wait. And that was in, that interview was in like 2000,
16, so there's probably a lot more.
Sean, pranks with a Z, it has a 9.3. Questions.
Well, I think there's different guys that rate it too, by the way. I think he's got a staff now.
This is the user average.
Oh, user average. Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, don't listen.
No, no. Wait. The site rating was... They're the same. 9.5. Wait, what? I'm getting all over the place here. You're blown away by how many movies there are from this year.
Pranks, the movie. Dude, it's got a 6.8 on IMDb.
That sucks.
Why does that suck?
Anything below 7 IMDb is terrible. People on IMDb give everything 10s.
For prank... I don't believe that, dude. Fucking... I've never seen that on IMDb. I never see anything above a 7.
What? Anything below a 7 is hogwash. Oh my god. This site rules. You know what? I only want to watch the ones that they gave below a 5, to be honest with you.
You only want to watch?
Yeah, because they look so stupid.
Dude, Harry Potter has a 7.5 on IMDb.
Yeah. Good.
Be an idiot.
So, what do you mean?
Harry Potter's a great movie.
It's not.
It's a great movie.
It's really not. It doesn't even have Peeves in it.
Who gives a shit?
I do. He's my favorite character. That dastardly poltergeist.
IMDb's a bunch of fucking nerds. All right. So what is it? Why are we still talking? Why isn't the show over? Guys.
Oh, so I'm not going to do it, but for Patreon here on out, I'm just going to read a page from The Matrix 3, The Psychosocial. What's the full title of it?
I love it. I love that idea. That's a great idea.
If I can figure out how to work a Kindle, I can get to my library. All right. Well, the government has...
The government's
taken away my Val Valderine.
Well, like, honestly, that would make the most sense. If you were a conspiracy theorist, why would a digital copy exist on anything? They would just have...
it's not... I had to download it. Somebody scanned each page. It's not the book. Like, somebody scanned it in.
But the government would still delete it.
Well, yeah. Where the fuck is it? Because, you know, I showed it to you. Remember?
Yeah, I'm getting kind of scared, though, because, like, it's freaking me out that the government deleted that from your Kindle. And they're going to, like, come bursting in here because we figured it all out.
Well, I mean, wouldn't they go after him first?
Isn't he dead?
Well, the government took it off my Kindle and replaced it with my dad as a butthead. Dude, there's no way I put that on there.
You love this book.
Well.
Valdemar Valerian and the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not on here. What the hell?
Well, the government's fucked with Joe. And they're going to come kill us. So we should wrap up the episode. And Joe will read The Matrix to you on Patreon, maybe. Or maybe not. We'll never do it. Who knows? You'll find out. I mean,
people don't even know what we're talking about at this point.
Yeah. I mean, so what is it? It's a book by this guy, Valdemar Valerian.
Yeah. I found it because it's actually the album title of Jedi Mind Tricks, their first album, The Psychosocial, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. 100 words. And it's based off this book called Val Valerian.
Valdemar Valerian.
Yes. And there's five of them. Mm-hmm. They're called The Matrix. And it's just like him exposing these truths about aliens.
Yeah. I mean, it's him babbling.
Oh, no. It's real. Where the fuck is it? I would never delete it from my Kindle.
It's all right, man. We'll get them next time. All right, guys. So, what a way to end it. What a way to end it on a low note. So that's it for this episode. If you want to support the show monetarily, you could go to patreon.com/IHateHorror or store.IHateHorror.com to buy some merchandise. We forgot to mention Chicago, November 14th. Oh, nope, that's not the date. Chicago, November 17th and 18th. We are in Chicago. More importantly, November 18th, Deadbolt, Logan Square, Chicago, live show. Free tickets, no cover. Come on, get drunk and listen to us talk about some shit.
What are we going to talk about?
I have no idea.
Nice.
We're going to figure it out.
All right.
Yeah,
Can I just read The Matrix?
Do you finally have it?
No.
Oh, you mean in Chicago?
Yeah.
Dude, I think they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, well, the bar owners would be like, get the fuck out of this place. You're never allowed back. So come out and see us, man. It's going to be fun. Really fun. And we're also going to be at Days of the Dead those 2 days also. You can find all that information at facebook.com/IHateHorror. I'm on Twitter at IHateHorrorShow. Instagram and Snapchat at IHateHorror. And before Joe drops his thing, leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to help support us non-monetarily, we would really appreciate that. We appreciate everyone, whether you support us monetarily or don't. The reviews really help. So leave us a review on iTunes. And if you do, send me an email, sean@ihatehorror.com, and I'll send you some free stickers in the mail. Drop your load.
I'm at Joe V421, Brugnish 1985, and Horror Show Joe.
What an episode. Next
week.
I can't
believe the government took that away from me.
I can, and I'm really nervous about dying right now. So next week, if there is a next week, if we live to see another day.
Don't worry, I found that on my computer.
We have a classic. We are doing a classic horror film. A beloved horror film. We are doing Reanimator.
Yes. Bride of.
Yep. So see you next week. For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
I found it.
Okay.